God is doing. We're so thankful and honored to be here. This is our church. My wife and I, Shirley and myself, been coming here over 20 years. And this is our home. But we do have a ministry called Voice of Life Ministries. So my name is John Helmuth. Hers is Shirley. It's her birthday today, so everybody know. Hallelujah. 59 again. Hallelujah. But we want to just say thank you for all of your prayers and support as we've gone out to different nations this year. We've gone to 5 different nations. We've seen literally hundreds and thousands of people's lives changed. It's unbelievable what the Lord is doing. But the world is open, except maybe for the Middle East, the world is open for the gospel. So we encourage you, if you're able to go preach or speak the word of God, to get a passport and go, or go downtown, or go to another city. But the word of God, we believe that God is bringing the word to life in 2025. The church alive in 2025, that's the title of my message. Holy moments. We've had a lot of holy moments throughout the years that we've traveled, and God has done so many different things that we could stand up here and bore you for 5 hours of all the miracles that God has done and all the people's lives that have been changed. We were in a pastor's office after the service in Argentina here just 3-4 weeks ago, and a lady comes in there and she's got her glasses in her hand and she's saying, while we were ministering, all of a sudden I couldn't read my Bible. I didn't know what was wrong. She said, I took my glasses off and I could see perfectly. Here's my glasses. God healed my eyes. So God does that. While we were ministering the word, it wasn't because of us, but because of the move of the Holy Spirit, who is here today as well. And so we want you to expect a miracle. Not just word it, mouth it, but expect that God is going to do the supernatural for you, for your family. So we're closing out one year and going to open another one in a few years, but God is doing things today. And we don't have to wait until next year. Right? He's doing things today. So if you want to follow along, you have your Bible app, you go to more and then go to events. There's an outline of what I feel like the Lord wanted me to speak about. But we come to, as you know, there's only one John Helmuth, the one crazy John Helmuth. Somebody said, we were talking about that God didn't have a mold and he made 5 of us. He only made 1 of us. And aren't you glad? Hallelujah. But anyway, we come to preach, to teach, and prayerfully demonstrate some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's what I do. That's what we do all over the world, my wife and I. And people are hungry for a word of knowledge or prophecy. Miracles. We just had a lady give us a crocheted table covering that 2 years ago we were in her church, in a Baptist church in northern Argentina. And I don't remember, we prayed for her hands because she was not able to use her hands to make and quilt. And God healed her hands. So she knitted us another table runner, gave it to us this year. So God is moving in spite of us, right? He moves sometimes when we least expect it. But I believe and know that the presence of the Lord is in this house because God has spoken very clearly that he wants to move upon us today. So some of those holy moments I want to share, we were in Walmart, Pastor likes Walmart, and we were checking out, and on the other aisle, there was a young couple, and they were trying to pay for their food and for their groceries, and their credit card wasn't working, and he was on the phone. I think he was calling his mother-in-law, and I don't know. I didn't even hesitate. I just went over and put my credit card in the machine, paid for their food, paid for their groceries. And, you know, a holy moment is something that you don't pre-plan. It's inspired by the leading of the Holy Spirit. They said, oh, we want your name, your phone number. We're going to pay you back. I said, no, no. This is a blessing from the Lord. Another holy moment I shared on Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago was we were in an Uber in Argentina, driving in an Uber driver, a young man. He could speak English, which is you don't find very much because everything's in Spaniola. And he could speak English. He said, "Why are you here in Argentina?" I said, "We've come to share the gospel of Jesus Christ." And who is that? Who's Jesus? Said, "If my wife was able to share the whole story in a few seconds, a few minutes," and he pulled his car off to the side. He said, "Can I have that Jesus too?" And we led him to the Lord. See, those are holy moments, things we didn't plan, things that weren't on our agenda. And this is the way God moves, and he can move it in your life, in your lives as well, because when you're anointed with the Holy Spirit, it's possible, right? So God wants to lead us. He wants to lead us. In fact, as he sent the Holy Spirit to lead us in John 16, verse 13, I'll get it right. "Moreover, when he, the Holy Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." In other words, he shows us the future, but I like the first part of it. He came as a guide. The Holy Spirit is here to guide us. The question is, will we allow him to guide us? Can we follow his leading? And, you know, we have plans. God has plans, and sometimes they don't come together. We minister in Pakistan, and we have for quite some years now, and have a church there, a parochial school there. They have 60 students in the school. And the leader always comes up with an idea. "I want to do this. And will you help pay for it?" And we don't usually always agree with that because we're not sure that God's in it. How about if God's in it, he'll also provide. Before I go on, I want to reflect on 2024. You know, so many things have happened. So many things are happening today. And like I shared earlier, our ministry, Voice of Life Ministry, we've been to 5 different nations, 5 different trips. We've been to more nations, but 5 major trips. And the first week we were in Argentina, there was over 200 in just actually one church in 2 meetings. We had over 200 come to the Lord. Just in 2 days, we could have come home and said, "Wow, what an awful time." But the rest of the week, there were so many people's lives were changed. And we have testimonies that they came up and said last year, a young girl, 16, came up and she said, somewhere in her teens, "I was scheduled to have an operation for my hearing. But," she said, "you anointed my ears and prayed, and I didn't ever had to have the operation. I can hear perfect." These are things that are holy moments that bring glory to the Lord, not to us. They bring glory to the Lord, but your support and your prayers, you are a part of all of these salvations, all of these restorations, all of these miracles. This church, you, thank you. Thank you for helping us and supporting us and praying for us. We've seen so many rededications. We were a church of around 500, and I asked for people that, you know, maybe have drifted away and their relationship isn't where they want it to be. There were over 500 people in the church, and when I gave the invitation, I said, "Just stand, will you?" Over 200 people stood to just to rededicate their lives. While we were in Argentina, we were talking to a pastor in Mar del Plata. 40 years ago, there was a great revival. Carlos Anaconda came in and there was a great revival, wonderful miracles. He was telling me, he said, "I was working at a shop." He said, "I wasn't really involved in this crusade." But he said, "My brother came in and started telling me about the miracles that had taken place." He said, "People in the city bus driving past the revival had gold fillings come into their teeth." He said, "People just walking by were healed." That was 40 years ago, so they had like 6 or 7 different revivals in the city to renew all that, and thousands came back to the Lord. So when God moves, Todo es posible, right? Everything is possible. When God moves, everything is possible. We just need to increase our faith a little bit, right? God has spoken it. We read it. Have we put it to practice? And I want to encourage you today that we are someone. So when we reflect on who are you, we've also seen in 2024 tragedy, deaths, accidents, people dying from cancer, disease, some things that were not so holy a moments. But regardless of what's happened, God's people must continue to press on. There's an old song, "Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching as to War. With the cross of Jesus going on before." Anyway, you know, like Paul says, Philippians 3, 12, 13, and 14 said, I haven't attained it yet. I'm not there yet. But one thing I do, forget those things which are behind. And he said, I press on for the prize. You see, there's a prize waiting for us that complete the journey. Amen? Hallelujah. So when we look at all that, we want to say, who are you? Are you able to live successfully as a believer in this world? We live in an evil world. Are you able to live victorious in this world? Our identity is important. Whatever you believe, I believe you should stand for that. And you should stand against those who come against you. But God has created us in his image in Genesis 1 and 27. We are a creation that God looked at and he created male and female in his image. We're a part of God's family. And then I want to go on to Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. We're not just a number to God. It says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. One translation says evil. To give you a future and a hope. When we are part of the family of God, there is a future for us. There's a hope for us. And I believe that God has gifted us by the Holy Spirit that we have value. We are a prize to him. We're not just a number to him. He knows our name personally. He knows our name personally. He knows where we live. He even knows how many hairs we have on our head. And so we have value in the eyes of the Lord. Some of you are going through things, and some people have said things about you and done things to you. You feel hopeless. You feel like you're nobody. But according to the word of God, we all are someone to him. And we have identity with him. And it's so important because he's gifted us with what? Compassion, generosity, courage, integrity, honesty. If we will operate in these things that he's given us, we will have identity with the Lord, first of all, and the world will see us as someone that is worthy to be recognized. So what authority do you have as a believer? As a believer, we have lots of authority, but we just don't use it. We back up a lot of times, but we live in a world full of evil, hate, demonic activity. We live in a world where people's lives are being destroyed. So to live successfully and not be afraid, I believe that we have to come to that place where we know who we are, what authority has been released in our lives. And when we speak the name of Jesus, do you realize the power that's in the name of Jesus? We connect to the throne room of God. We connect to the power that when God spoke, he created this world. When he spoke, everything and everything that we live in was created. And so for us to utilize the power, we need to understand the authority we have. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, says, and Jesus talking to Peter, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, whatever is locked, you lock, he'll lock. Whatever you unlock, he'll unlock. We have authority in the name of Jesus. And we know what Matthew 18 and verse 20 says, where two or three are gathered together in the midst, I am there. I am in the midst. Where two or three believers come together, and I see a few more than two or three, I believe that God is in our midst today. That's why miracles take place while we're speaking the word. That's why things can change while we're speaking the word, because he's here in the midst. Hallelujah. There's a word I believe that we need to look at in John 15 and verse 16. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I ordained or appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. There's a remaining fruit that gives us the authority to ask in the name of Jesus. It's when we are living a Christian life, we have successfully walked with the Lord, and there's changes in our life. People see our lives. People see that things have taken place. Then we have that authority and power in the name of Jesus to receive the petitions that we ask for. You did not choose me, Jesus said. I chose you. He came after us. Hallelujah. He gave his life for us. He died on the cross for us. But he chose us and ordained us that we would go out and do something that brings fruit. So we have to have fruit. You have to plant a seed. If you want to harvest, you plant a seed. Farmers, you know that. If you want to have corn in the fall, you plant the corn in the spring, or oats or soybeans or whatever it is. But when your fruit remains, it shows that you've walked with the Lord. Then we have that authority is released in our life when we pray. I give you the keys. Oh, hallelujah. All of us have different things in our lives that that we need to take authority over in our family, our lives personally, in our family, in our marriages, in our finances, sometimes even in the church. There's things that sometimes we just say, oh, I guess it's supposed to be that way. No. I've read the Bible quite a few times, and I've never found a verse that says we're supposed to be complacent and we're supposed to live with the things that we're born with, or that we have diseases or sicknesses. I don't find it that we're supposed to be complacent about that. We need to take our God-given authority and begin to prophesy over the dead things. Come to life. Prophesy over the things that don't respond in a normal way. We have to have that authority and speak to the dead things. Say, come to life. God has called me to speak to you. And begin to prophesy over those things. Even if you don't understand it, just get in the word and begin to speak the word over it. Hallelujah. Jesus says the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life, and that in abundance. That's John 10:10. So when we say, okay, I guess it's supposed to be that way, I'm supposed to live with this problem, we allow the enemy to destroy us. We never move into the second part of that abundant life. God wants us, church, healthy and whole. So we need to find our spiritual authority and use it to stand between life and death. Did you hear me? We need to find our spiritual authority and speak against death. Use it to stand between life and death. Because in these last days, we're going to talk about the last days for just a few moments. Time goes so fast when I'm having fun, Pastor. I don't know what happens. Hallelujah. When I talk last days, I'm not talking about just the last days of this year, which, yeah, we're a couple of days away. We're going to close the door on 24. We're going to open up the door on 25. We believe the church is going to come alive. I think God's going to work many miracles, and we will see testimony after testimony, even if this service today, I will prophesy that, okay? But we're looking at what's been prophesied. Jesus is coming back, the end times, eternity. And Jesus said all these things are going to take place before I come back. In Matthew 24, starting with verse 3 going to 14, but he talks about deception, the Antichrist spirit. He talks about wars, rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, earthquakes, and people betraying one another. Truth being lies, lies being truth. All these things are told us in the Bible about the last days. Are you ready for eternity? I'm going to throw that question out. If you were to die today and you stood at the pearly gates and Jesus would say to you, why should I allow you to come into my kingdom? You're going to say, well, I went to church. I gave my tithes. I taught Sunday school. Not going to do it. That's great attributes. You're going to say, because I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I asked him to forgive me of my sins. I accepted him as my Savior. And we're looking at days that are quickly coming to pass. Look what's happening in the Middle East and Israel and all these nations riding down against Israel, all these people. And when it happens in Israel, the trumpet's going to blow, right? Joel 2:1 says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm in my holy mountain. The Joel 2:13 says, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and with mourning. But I like what Peter says in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. He says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit, says the Lord, upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. I always say I must not be too old because I still have some visions. Hallelujah. But we need to know that God is calling for repentance for the church. We can't do church as normal. You mean, I haven't been doing church right? We need to turn to the Lord with all of our heart and to serve him with everything that we do. So we see in these two contrasts, we see darkness that's coming, but we see the glory that's going to overshadow the darkness. What did Isaiah say in Isaiah 60? Yeah, I agree. The glory is going to overshadow the darkness. The darkness has to flee because we don't have a Savior hanging on the cross. We have a risen Savior who's in the throne room interceding for you and me. And he wants the best for us. Hallelujah. But Isaiah 60 verse 1, it says, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Then the second verse says, and gross darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness its people. But upon you, the glory will be seen upon you. We have the glory. We need to walk with the glory. We need to allow God to use the glory as we go out of these doors today, and everyone we meet can see that glory. My wife and I eat breakfast sometimes with a gentleman that of the world, we'll put it that way. But he has trouble sitting beside us. There's something in his spirit that doesn't like our spirit. We haven't talked about it. We haven't said anything. You see, when the glory's in you, the enemy doesn't like you. The darkness doesn't like the glory of the Lord. So we're calling all believers to rise and shine. Hallelujah. So what's ahead for you? I don't know. You determine that. What's ahead for you? What does God want to do in your life? What's going to happen to you in the 2025? Who are you going to become? Or what's going to happen with your life? You determine that. You determine by what you say and what you do. Proverbs 18:21, power of life and death are in the tongue. And those, whatever you say, that's how you're going to live. You say, me, I have gloom and doom in my life, and I don't know what's going to happen. You're going to live with that. But if you say, I know that God's going to visit me, that he's going to change my life, that he's going to restore me back to who he wants me to be, you're going to begin to see a change come your way. You're going to see God begin to move. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh. So who will you become? You know, we always say, well, next year I'm going to make some New Year's resolutions and I'm going to change next year, right? How about today? Today is the day of salvation, the scripture says. Today is the time. We have opportunity today. In a few moments, the prayer teams are going to come up here. And you're going to be able to, if you want to say, today is my day, I want to change today, if you will say that, they'll be up here to pray you through. Because God is doing a work, not only here, but he's doing a work here, and he's doing a work out there. And he wants you to be involved. So begin to speak. I'm healed. I'm set free. Hallelujah. I am the, oh, hallelujah. See, God is with us, not against us. His plans are to give us a hope and a future, not to give us evil, not to destroy us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We close it up. If we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, if we're going to take the church to the next level, then we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us to these holy moments that we've talked about all month. Because there's a lot of holy moments out there that we miss out on because we're not sensitive or we're not looking. We're talking about stepping into a place where it changes people's lives, where they come to the Lord. So if we're going to take the church to the next level, and we as a church have to start walking the line on obeying the word of God. Stop following the Antichrist spirit because it's strong, trying to get us to take down all our gospel signs, all our things about the Lord. We need to come against evil. We need to stand up for what's right in God's eyes, what is taught to us in this word. We need to draw a line between what we call good and evil. I want you to hear me. There's a lot of evil out there and it's being pushed on the church. We're supposed to accept it. No, we're not. Not according to God's word. We have to stand against that. We need to learn to control ourselves. Nobody likes to hear that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and self-discipline. I talk about the fear, I talk about the power, I talk about the love, but I don't talk about the self-discipline too much. In the past, we've made crazy decisions, literally done stupid things, and the world can't tell that we're any different than they are. It's time that we stand up for purity and holiness, that we take a stand for what's right and come against what's wrong. You say, but nobody will like me. They'll like you, all right, because when the end times come, they'll be following you to the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 8:20 says, the harvest is past. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. Why are we not saved? Because we've put it off, put it off, put it off. Next year, I'll make a New Year's resolution. I'll make sure that I change next year. How about today? Today is the day of salvation. Brent, will you come? Hallelujah. If 2025 is going to be the year for the church, then we as believers need to start making sound judgments. We as believers need to have some personal discipline. I don't like to use that word. Maybe I'm from a different generation, Pastor, but God's word talks about being holy and pure in his sight. Fact is, he says nothing that is unholy will enter into the kingdom. So we either have to start doing things different, or we're not going to become who God wants us to become. We have the ability, as God's people, we have the ability. He amplified in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, the last part of it says, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. This is what we need, church. If we're going to take the church to the next level, then we have to start making selfless, well-balanced decisions. Will you all stand with me as we close today? We ask the prayer teams to come forward. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. You know you need to change. You know you need to say something and do something different. Today's that day. Today's the day. You don't know if you have tomorrow. I've heard of so many people dying in car accidents lately. When they left home in the morning, they didn't realize they were never going to make it home that night. Head-on collisions, everything. Today is the day. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today, right? So as we pray, all pray together. And then we're going to open up for you to come and allow someone to pray with you. It doesn't matter if it's a healing, if it's a family problem, if it's financial, but I'm concerned about your soul. I'm concerned about your eternity. So we're going to pray. Holy Spirit, come right now. We ask you to touch our lives, Lord. Convict us of evil. Convict us of the wrong desires we have. Teach us to use your power correctly, Lord. Guide us in the truth that you have written for us. And Lord, forgive us for the wrongs and our sins in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Altars are open. Please come if you need to. Let God touch your life. But God bring a healing. Plus, I'm sure that we need to hear the report after today of the miracle that God has done in your life in this service. Give a testimony to it in the name of Jesus. Okay.